For a few minutes. Okay, let us. I want to continue for a few minutes discussing the Hebrew language. Lashon HaKodesh verse Aramaic. A few more ideas to bring out from the Sefer from Rabbi Reuven Chaim Klein. Lashon HaKodesh, history, holiness, and Hebrew. It's jam-packed with ideas, sources, secular sources, Jewish sources. What?
Theories.
It's packed, jam-packed. Dense. Okay, interesting idea came across. There were four people that did not participate in the Dar Haflaga. In the Migdal Babel, four major personalities that were encouraged to participate but refused and rebelled. Who were the not four? Five. Five people. Who are the five people?
Avram.
Noach. Shem. No. Mishloach was not alive already. Shem. Aver. And one more person, Ashur. Ashur. He was one of the descendants of Ashur. These are the five people. Five people that refused. Each one, you know, it's like the story with where is the source? If you give me half a moment. Okay, five people. The Medrash, here it is. The Medrash Yilamdenu. Did you hear of this?
Yeah.
Medrash Yilamdenu says that five pious people did not participate in the rebellion at the Tower of Babel. Ashur, Shem, Aver, Avram, Noach. And there's a very big difference. You can make a nice drush. Let me give you a background to this. We know that when Paro had a dilemma, what do the Jewish people? So Paro called three advisors.
Yeah.
Bilam, Eoiv, and Yisrael. Eoiv was quiet. No response.
Okay.
Stain. Eof. Stain. Shoshasak. A Yisrael? He, Yisrael Barach? And Bilam says, yeah, go right ahead. Good idea. Same thing. Each of these five reacted differently. Now, I shouldn't say the old, but this is the way the Medrash presents it. Noach, when he saw them building a tower, he went to fight them. He took out his stick and he went, how dare you, you Meshugayim, how dare you go and build a tower to rebel against the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Noach, it says that he was killed. Now the problem with that is that we know that he was alive long after the Migdal Babel, so the commentators explain it means that he was severely injured. He was incapacitated. That in his struggle with the people of the generation, the leaders who were building this Migdal, they injured him. He was injured and he ultimately died many years later from his wounds. Avram and Shem and Aver, Avram, Shem and Aver, it says they hid. They hid. I don't know the details, but it means they didn't confront them. They didn't fight them, but they didn't run away either. They kept a low profile. Low profile. On the other hand, but again, that has to be analyzed exactly what they did. Ashur, to his credit, did something which is a little different. He ran away. He didn't just want to keep a low profile, he ran away. Now, is running away better or worse? I don't see the mention, so you have to analyze exactly what the other. But it's very interesting. There were five people, and from the five people, each one of them dealt with the situation a little bit differently. It needs further clarification. But what the Medrash wants to point out is, in reward for what they have done, it is through these five people the holy language is preserved. What do we mean? Avram and Shem. Avram really was Shem and Avram. Take those two together. Hashem is the great ancestor. Malki Tzedek Melech Shem Hotzi Lechem V'Yayin. From him was transferred to Avram, came Klal Yisrael, who was given Lashon HaKodesh. Aver, from him comes Aramaic. These languages existed before, whatever that means exactly, I don't know, but from him is Aver is Lashon Ivri. This is the discussion in and of itself, but Avram was called originally Ho-Ivri. Avraham Ho-Ivri. What does it mean, Ho-Ivri? It's a very difficult term. He has an entire chapter devoted to this. But among the opinions is that Avraham, until later in his life, his main language was Aramaic. And Aramaic is rooted in the word Aravis, is rooted in the word Ivri. Ivri means from the other side. On the other side, on the other side of the river, what is the characteristic of coming from the other side of the river? They spoke a different language. The language of
Ksav Ivri.
Awesome. That's also Ksav Ivri. That's a different type of thing. It's Ivri, but it's also Ivri, according to some commentators, is the Shurish of Aramaic. The nation, the people that had a tfisa of the Aramaic language. That also, to some degree, has become part of Klal Yisrael, because we have Targum. Look at when we lane, you can't deny the fact that Aramaic is the closest thing to Lashon Kodesh. It is used to explain the Targumim and so on, and the Talmud, and everything that we have in Yados is pretty much in either Lashon Kodesh or Aramaic. So that is Shem and Avram, Lashon Kodesh. Aver was Arami. Now Noach, I don't know, Noach, it seems also part of this line. It's really Noach is the great-grandfather of
all of them,
I don't know. But then Ashur is the script, Ksav Ashuris. Ashur was the founder of Ksav Ashuris, and Ksav Ashuris is the script in which we ascribe holiness. In every single letter is the secrets of the world, the Sefer Torah.
This would prove that Arami and Lashon Kodesh were not Bilbel. They were from before the...
Yes, that's assumed. Okay, now let's go to another one. This is a very beautiful idea which opens up, tries to define the nature of a language. At the time of Migdal Bavel, we all know that the Vayihi Haaretz Sofa Achas. We all brainwashed with Rash interpretation. Sof Achas means that until this point, and everyone spoke in one language. Which language did they speak? Rashi, I think, there says Beferish they spoke Lashon Kodesh. Rashi is a very controversial interpretation, because the vast majority of the commentators, the Rishonim, disagree with Rashi. The Sof Achas was not Lashon Kodesh. It can't be the whole world was using a holy language, or the world was not very holy. What were they speaking in? That's a big mystery. Were they speaking in Sof Achas, meaning an Aramaic, maybe? Maybe there was some other language they all chose? Another question, a more basic question. How many languages existed before Migdal Bavel?
I read somewhere that the universal language may have been Lashon Kodesh, but locally they had each other.
Okay, so that's the big question. Rashi says very clearly that everyone at this point in time will speak Lashon Kodesh. There's something called the Bukhar Shar. The Bukhar Shar is a Rishain. He's quoted by some of the later Rishainim. He's a very popular Rishain, very famous Rishain, the Bukhar Shar. And he says an idea that at the time of creation, there were already 70 languages. There were already 70 nations, and every nation had their unique language. It's in addition, there was one universal language. There's like one universal language. So, it's like the internet. On the internet, when you communicate on the internet, there's only one language. It's an amazing concept. The internet is one language. What is it called? HTTP. Hypertext Transfer Protocol. That's Sof Achas. You're dealing with the world. Today in the world, there are how many languages? There are at least a few hundred popular languages in the world, if not even more. But popular languages, there are a few hundred. And yet, when we communicate on the internet, even though ultimately you can go and you can have multiple fonts, but the actual language to communicate with one server to another server is in one universal language. So likewise, when the entire world came together to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though everyone already had their own language, they all adopted one single language to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused them to forget their language, and mainly they went back to their old ways. That's one approach. Rashi seems to say no. The languages did not yet exist. At this point in time in the world, there was one language, two languages. There was Lashon Kodesh, there was Lashon Aramaic, whatever it was. And they used this one language. And part of the punishment for rebelling against them was HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused them to miscommunicate. And then they had to start from scratch. Everyone went into their little hole in the world, and they began on their own to develop a new language. The new languages began to develop. Some commentators have a little bit of a middle ground. They're of the opinion that every nation had their own, it was a sophisticated world. Everyone knew all 70 languages. And what happened was Hashem caused them to forget 69 of them. When it says the whole was Sof Achas, you can talk to me in Chinese, and I'll respond to you in Yiddish, and we can get along, because I know Chinese, and you know Yiddish. So we can just, it was a lot of fun.
Who says this?
Maybe the Malbim?
There's another medrash that Nimrod went and captured people from other countries to come build the Migdal. It was Nimrod who was the organizer. So if he went to other countries,
yeah,
they get other languages. If they
he brought, yeah,
they must have had
they imported languages.
Okay, so this was in the building, the workers, but if they go back to the families, they had to speak the same language as their family.
Well, that's the question. That's the crux of the question. We have all these different variations. Let's just review. Either one is that everyone at this time knew 70 languages. And they had no problem. Sof Achas, there's no problem communicating. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused them to forget 69 of the 70. Every person all of a sudden forgot 69 languages. So I can no longer communicate with you. Or everyone knew their language, plus they knew Lashon Kodesh. They communicated Lashon Kodesh. They forgot Lashon Kodesh. So they went back to their old ways. Or like Rashi, now this is the point. Or like Rashi, no. Everyone only knew one or two languages. That one or two languages was forgotten, and now they everyone dispersed, and now they first began to develop new language. Now, what is the issue? This is an amazing idea. He quotes here from Baruch Epstein. He quotes here from other sources. Rishonim. The crux of the question is: we have a principle in creation. Ein chodosh tachas hashomesh. The rules of physics, the rules of science do not change. The way the world was created, that's the way the world is going to be from creation until the end of time. That's a mitzias, this is the emunah. You'll tell me nishtana hateva. That doesn't mean teva changes entirely. That just means there is a little bit of evolution, adaptation, but it doesn't mean something entirely new. There's no such thing as a new mitzvah in this world. The question is, well, climate change is not that's something new. That's just natural. Okay, so here, the question is, what is a language? Is the there are only 70 original languages. Today everything is just has to be an offshoot, a dialect, a branch. Everything today, Chazal tell us there are only really truly 70 true unique languages. Is a language something that is so unique and so significant that it falls in the category of Ein Chodosh Tachas Hashemesh? Very interesting idea. When you look at a language, you take a course in college, take a course online, learn Spanish, advertise on the radio. Learn Spanish in 21 days. Learn Spanish in 10 days. Wow, you learn a new language. Who invented this language? The koyach to create a new form of communication. Is this something that is so novel, it's so brilliant, it's so creative, that it has to be rooted in creation itself? Or the ability to come up with a new means of communication, it's no big deal. It's just an advancement in technology. Just like today we have smartphones, and 20 years ago there were no smartphones. So no, it's an advancement of technology. It's not in the category of chodosh. It's hard for us to appreciate this because we probably...
In the Science Times had an article last year about all the... People talk about how many languages there are. There really aren't all those languages. Everything right. Emanates from a basic...
It's hard for us to appreciate the question because we probably don't have any real pure language other than Lashon Kodesh.
We have Aksav HaMichtav. Is there created Erev Shabbos?
That's the Ksava HaMichtav. That's writing. But we probably, besides Lashon Kodesh, don't really have an appreciation of language. Because everything today has been distorted, has been diluted. But when you focus on the 70 pure forms of communication, are they so unique that it only can originate in Ma'aseh Bereishis? Hashem taught them to Adam HaRishon? Or no? They're not so unique. It's like someone coming along and putting men on the moon. Putting men on the moon, it's technology. You can advance to the degree where you can do something, but it's within your means to do it on your own without it being an ingredient in creation.
Original, it's just developed out of
development, out of need, out of
evolution.
Evolution. That that's the crux of the question of how do you view the koyach of a language. If you like the whole list of kadmoinim of Rishon, like Rashi, that guess what? Language, the 70 languages first came into existence after Migdal Bavel. Until Migdal Bavel, it says Sofa Achas, Rashi, Loshoina Kodesh, Loshoina Kodesh. This was the only language. One language. Everyone communicated in this one language. That's all that existed in the world. Then Hashem says, you want to rebel against me? You know what? I mean, you're going to forget the language. Go into your little hole. Everyone run around and go figure out how to communicate with one another. So that means language is a man-made invention. It's a man-made invention. Don't take it so seriously. But if you learn that no, language existed before Migdal Bavel, and everyone knew multiple languages, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused them to forget some languages, there was a problem of communication, and everyone went back to the way it was before. That upgrades, that approach to language forces us to stand back in awe of the koyach of communication. It's not just something that you can do on your own. It's a creation of God. Ein chodosh tachas hashamesh. It's a whole new way. It's a league. You can't create new rules of science. You're not going to go and grow two heads. You're not going to create something new. It's something that Hashem has created, and things happen in the world where some people focus on one language and not on another language. This is a very beautiful idea that he presents. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. We mentioned yesterday that the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin says that Adam HaRishon spoke in Aramaic. Adam HaRishon did not speak in Lashon Kodesh. Only later did Adam HaRishon was he taught Lashon Kodesh. Now he has here an idea that why was that so? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevent Adam HaRishon from speaking in Lashon Kodesh at a later point in time? So the answer he says, because Adam, Chazal tell us, a human being is 50% animal and 50% a malach. At the time of creation, what are the two characteristics of man? Man, he comes from the earth. He comes from the earth, but man stands. Let me see if I can find this. It'd be really shame if I can't. Here it is. I got it. Baruch Shem. Adam HaRishon, when he has intelligence, and he stands upright. These two characteristics of intelligence and the koyach, koyma zukufa, to stand vertical, are characteristics only found by angels, by malachim, spiritual creatures. But on the other hand, a human being also is like an animal that it eats. Adam HaRishon was put in Gan Eden to eat, and Adam HaRishon reproduces. And the koyach too, priya uriviya, and the koyach of achila do not exist in the spiritual world. Malachim do not eat, and malachim do not procreate. So Adam is in the net. What about language? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give Adam HaRishon the koyach of Lashon HaKodesh, then Adam HaRishon would, the scale would be tipped. It would not be fair, because Lashon HaKodesh is the language of Malachim. So then it would be 3-2. So at the time of creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could not allow a human being to communicate in the same, because since the Koyach of Lashon HaKodesh is in a league by itself. Who says all of this? This is Rabbi Alexander Sender Shur from the 17th century. This is his approach, his idea, based upon the Medrash and Bereshis Rabbah, that there must be this balance. Lashon HaKodesh is in a league by itself. If Adam would be given the Koyach of Lashon HaKodesh, then it would be 3-2. Here we have three major characteristics of Malachim and two like man. Therefore,
didn't understand him.
Malachim only know Lashon HaKodesh.
Malachim didn't understand Adam HaRishon.
And Echanami, Malachim did not. There was no communication. Animal. Well, what?
They gave
him the name. So that was a later point in time. Let's go one step further.
Did he give
after,
only in Hebrew? Or did he give
names? No, he only in Hebrew, it seems. Yeah. It would appear only in Hebrew. After the chait of Eitz Hadas, Adam brought upon himself death. Death is something which only exists with animals. Does not exist with does not exist by Malachim. Malachim. So now when Adam brought death upon himself, the scales were tipped 3-2. Adam now was similar to animals in three respects. Death, which means, and it's a very interesting idea, because according to this Medrash, that means that when Hashem created the animals, animals died. You ever think about this? We know before the time of the Chet Eitz Hadas, Adam was meant to live forever. There's no such thing as mis in the world. What about animals? Do animals live forever? According to the Medrash, no. Death existed in this world. Animals were not meant to live forever.
You see that because there's a Medrash that when Cain killed Abel, how did he know to bury him? He saw a bird.
The birds bury. So you see that death. Well, but that was already after the Chet of Adam Arishon. When Cain killed Abel, that was after the Chet of Adam Arishon. So already death existed. But according to this, a very fascinating idea that Adam. Oh, that was before the Chet of Nachash, but the idea is that Adam Harishon, before the time of creation, Adam was going to live forever, but animals were going to die. Animals
even
only
the Nachash that was standing up.
Possibly, yeah, possibly the animals only were meant to live forever.
He was he had
an
initiative to go ahead and.
When Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, Adam made himself like an animal, and now he also will die. Adam was in the middle. I'm not an animal. I live forever. I stand straight. I procreate. You animals, you don't stand straight. You die. I'm not like you. I'm like a malachim. I live forever. I live forever. He's in the middle. But when Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, now the scales were tipped that Adam was similar to an animal. He also dies. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give Adam a gift in order to restore the balance. To restore the balance, the gift Hashem gave Adam was the koyach of Lashon Kodesh, the Lashon of the Malachim. So it comes out, this is a very deep idea. Lashon Kodesh is the antidote to death. Adam did not have the koyach of Lashon Kodesh until the time he brought death upon himself. When he brought death upon himself, balanced the scales, he now will receive the koyach of Lashon Kodesh. And notice, this idea is the complete opposite of what we said yesterday from the Hadrash Vehuyim, from the Reish Rav. The Reish Rav said that Adam HaRishon, when he was created, was given the koyach of Lashon Kodesh, and with death, he brought upon himself, he was introduced to the koyach of Aramaic. Here it's just the opposite. Adam HaRishon was created with the koyach of knowledge of Aramaic, and with death, to restore the balance, that Adam should not be drawn after the animals, because now he dies, and now he eats, and now he procreates, so therefore we have to restore the balance by giving Adam something else. He has intelligence, he's the koyma zakufa, and he also speaks v'loshen HaKodesh like the Malach. So what happened? Did this point of death, did it add Lashon Kodesh, or did it bring into the world Lashon Aramaic? That's the point of difference between the two. Alright, there's a lot more. Maybe we'll do next week, but there's one major topic I really wanted to talk about, which I'm not going to talk about, is modern Hebrew. Next week, what is modern Hebrew? How do the Gedolei Yisrael, starting from all the way down to the Chazon Ish, relate to modern Hebrew? That is a very good chapter here in this book.